We're going to look at the last chapter of John.
We're going to be in John 21.
First, I'm going to read the last verses of chapter 20. We're in 21, but I'm going to read the last verses of chapter 20. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed or did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So, in the Gospel or the book of John, there are seven signs before the cross that tell us who Jesus is. And they also help us to believe in the Lord Jesus as Savior. So, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed or did in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, these seven that were there, have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. What kind of life do you get the moment you trust Jesus as Savior? You get eternal life. Eternal life. If you die today, where will you go? If you have believed in the Lord Jesus, you have life now, and you can know. You can know what will happen when you close your eyes in death. You will open them and see the Lord Jesus. So do you know? Wouldn't that be a great place to end John? If I were writing John, I would just stop it right there. We have seen the miracles, the seven miracles that prove who Jesus is. Jesus is God, Jehovah. He's the Creator. All things came into being from him way back in chapter 1. Nothing has come into being apart from him, John chapter 1. He proved this when he changed the water into wine, that he's the Creator. He proved that he is the life and the resurrection when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then, after proving who Jesus is, he paid for your sins on the cross. And that was in John chapter 19. And then in John chapter 20, he proves that he's alive from the dead. And so we have a Savior who pays for our sins, who is God and man. And then we have a Savior who's alive from the dead to meet your second need, which is life. I need my sins forgiven. I need my sins paid. But after my sins are paid, I need to have life from the dead. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the power that he has to give you life from the dead. And so I would end the book right there. What do you think? No, you don't get to end the book right there. John has one more chapter, and this chapter is especially for saved people. And this is, God makes a distinction. Chapters 1 through 20 is mostly for unsaved people. And what does God want for unsaved people? Jesus died on the cross for unsaved people. I came into the world as an unsaved child. I came into the world without eternal life. I came into the world with physical life, but not eternal life. And so that's what I need. And so 1 through 20, chapters 1 through 20, is largely to the unsaved. I need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I trust Jesus to do what I can't do, and you understand that believing is not like understanding that today we may have snow. You know they said we could have snow today? I believe the weatherman, did you? So my shovel, to shovel snow, is still ready to use. So I believed wrong. This is different. Believing here is trusting God to do what I cannot do. I know I cannot save myself. And I know Jesus paid the complete payment. And I know that Jesus is alive to give life. So I trust Jesus to do those two things. And the Bible says when you trust Jesus to do those two things, pay for your sins, give you the gift of eternal life, he does it, and he does it now. Well, that's chapters 1 through 20. But 21 now is, have you trusted Jesus as Savior? Here's a chapter that's just for you. So if not, you better keep reading 1 through 20 over and over and over again. So this is for the saved people, and we're going to learn two things. So you only have to learn two things today. And we're going to learn about what are the believer's two missions. What is God asking me to do now? And so God's going to give us two things to do. And a lot of you are going to like this one. I should put a... Okay, there's you. Okay. Mission number one is fishing. It doesn't get any better than that. Did you know if you receive Jesus as Savior, you have a fishing mission? And so that's very exciting, because everybody likes fishing. So there are two missions or two things given to you to do as a believer. And then the second, there you go. Do you know what that is? That's the stick that the shepherd uses to get the sheep to come back when they go away. It's called the shepherd's crook. I have no idea. And how do you spell it? That's not how you spell it, is it? That's not how you spell it. Hey, give up on English. It's too hard. It's spelled like this. Okay, and then if you're fishing, you need a hook, right? And if you are a shepherd is taking care of the sheep, right? So this has to do with God's sheep. This has to do with saving the lost. And this has to do with fish. So, you only have two jobs in life. Once Jesus is your Savior, God is going to ask us to look for other lost people and bring them to the Lord Jesus. So that's the fishing part. But we're not catching fish, are we? God sent the disciples out to catch people. But it's so much like fishing, he says, you are going to be fishers of men. And you're going to be catching men. So my job, do you know Jesus as Savior? Your job is talking. Everybody likes to talk. So this is talking, and that's something you can do. You know that Jesus died for you. You tell people, hey, Jesus died for me. I used to be sad like you, but now I'm happy because my sins are forgiven. And so half of the ministry, the two things, the two jobs, the two missions. Are fishing and caring for God's sheep, the hook and the crook. And then we're going to see one more lesson. We're going to see at the end two men. And the two men that we will compare are Peter and John. And this is the John who wrote the book. This is not John the Baptist. This is John the Apostle who wrote the book. So we've got two missions and two men. That's everything we need to know. We might learn a few other things. But we'll also be doing some reading. And so when we look at the two men, there's two ends for their life. And I think we have a question in life. What do I do now? What do I do now? And so help. God's giving you help. What do you do now? Well, you're either fishing or shepherding here. You've got two big jobs. And then what happens to me at the end of my life? A destiny is how does your life end? What's the goal at the end of your life? And so he's going to show for believers now, we're not talking saved and lost. The destiny of saved people, of course, is to be with the Lord Jesus. The destiny or end of unsaved people is to be away from the Lord Jesus in the lake of fire. But at the end of John, the people who will be with the Lord Jesus, there's two different exits. There's two different ways out of life. And so what is my end on earth? I think if you know those questions, you could live a pretty happy life, right? You know how your life is going to end. You know what you're supposed to do now. I can't think of anything else you need to know. So this chapter is for believers. It's telling us how to behave. It's more than that. It's giving us a perspective. We are beginning, and we're reading in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I have most of the words up here. This is verse 1. And it says, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. And when it says, beginning of our lesson, beginning after these things, he is pointing back to after Jesus died on the cross. And after Jesus was raised from the dead, and after he appeared and proved that he was risen from the dead, then John's saying, after this. After this. And then, they could have just said showed. Jesus showed himself. And that's what this is saying. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And that, we might know this as the Sea of Galilee. There's three names, I think, for the Sea of Galilee. This is the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. That's the sea that Jesus walked on the water. And that's the sea where they almost lost their lives. And Jesus said, peace be calm. And the water was just calm. And so, and then he's saying, in this way, what's going to come? So Jesus is going to show himself something in this way, and he's going to show us as another sign. But this sign is pointing to the future, and this sign has a lesson in it for us today, and that's what we already know. So verse 2 and probably 3, Simon Peter, he's going to tell you how many people go fishing. So you have to count right now and figure it out, all right? And I'll see if we all agree. Simon Peter, that's one. Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. How many did you get? This is a big map. We have a 7 over here. Did you get 7? All right. It's totally unimportant, but he does say it's 7. So 1, Simon Peter, 2, Thomas, 3, Nathanael, 4. See, you have to know there's 2 sons of Zebedee. So that's 5. Well, I'm on 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 2 others. He doesn't name who the others are. All right, so 7 people go fishing. Where were the other 4 disciples? Not fishing. Not fishing. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Do you know what every fisherman says in the morning? I am going fishing. Do you know what every fisherman says at night? Before he says goodbye to his wife, I am going fishing. Do you think it's interesting that when Jesus picked the people who would follow him and then they would represent him after he died, that he would pick mostly fishermen, people who fished and owned a fishing company? And so, what's Peter going to do? He's in a big space between when Jesus rose from the dead, and that was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then there's a gap between when the Holy Spirit is going to come down and give birth to the church. And Peter's in the middle, and nothing is happening, and so he's saying, I guess we'll go fishing. Well, that's good, because what's our mission? Our mission is fishing for men, right? And so, that's what God calls us to do. Fishing for men. But wait a minute, is Peter fishing for men? I don't think so, because they went out and got into the boat. You know, when you go fishing, you get away from people, because they're annoying, and they scare the fish away. But Peter, Simon Peter, said to them, I am going fishing. And so he talked all 6 plus himself into going fishing for fish. They said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat, and all that night they caught nothing. I told someone once that I didn't catch a fish. I went out fishing, I didn't catch a fish. And this man told me, this is why they call it fishing and not catching. No one says, I'm going out catching. No, we're going out fishing, because fishing is a lot like wishing, isn't it? You wish there were a fish at the end of your hook. But they caught nothing. They caught absolutely nothing. Did God call Peter and his brother Andrew? And John and his brother, is it James? John and James. Did he call them to start a new fishing business? No. The original commission, the original assignment with the Lord Jesus is that now you will be catching men. And so he's really going back to something that God did not call him to do. So he's spending a whole night fishing but not catching. And so the day comes, and guess what? They're going to be catching. At night, they're fishing, but not catching. The day comes, they're catching and fishing.
We need a sum here, right? Okay.
The Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John, remember, this is assignment for saved people now. If you're saved, you have an important thing to do. And your important thing to do is not catching a catfish. It's catching people. And you kind of see a story here that there at night, and of course you can catch fish at night, right? But they don't. But then in the day they catch fish. If you're writing this book, what's the story or the lesson you're building in between, no, at night I'm not catching, in the daytime I'm catching? What's the lesson? In the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus says, work while it is still day, for the night is coming when no man can work. All work for the Lord Jesus is conducted or done during the day. We work in the light, and if Jesus has saved you, he's taken you out of the spiritual darkness, and he's put you into spiritual light. And he says, now we are to behave like sons of the light. Put off the darkness and put on the armor of light. And all the way through other books in the New Testament, the Bible reminds us that we're sons of light, and sons of light. And God called us out of darkness. And you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus, have no business living our lives in the dark. And the dark is the old ways that used to characterize my life, the way I used to live my life. Some of those were terrible things. I was a terrible person. I told you that. You can just see that by looking at me. But also, there were good things I did too, right? But they were totally worthless. They were still dark things because they had no eternal value. And so the believer, if he's going to catch fish, if he's going to capture men and bring them to the Lord Jesus, he has to do it while it's day. You don't catch men by living in darkness like the men that you're going to catch. You and I are called to be lights in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. And so the whole world is crooked and the whole world is dark. And if Jesus is your Savior, you're a son of the light. So that's really important. He's telling us a lesson here just by the fact that no fish at night, but fish during the daytime. And so children, they said no. And he said, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. Do you ever think of this Bible story when you're fishing? I mean, in a boat? I do. I'm always fishing on one side of the boat. And then I think, I'm not catching anything either, right? And so I think, just put it over here. This must be the right side of the boat. And so I put it over here. I still get no fish. What happens for you? They're not on this side and they're not on this side. God does not guarantee you a catfish. God does not guarantee you, but he guarantees that you will catch men if you're working in the light and you're on the mission that God has given you to do. And really, we're not going to be happy if we're not doing what Jesus called us to do. Believers will not be happy. But when we're doing the things that God has called us to do, and he's narrowed it down to two things. He's the hook for fishing, the crook for taking care of the sheep. And he said, that's the happy life, and that's the guaranteed catch life. So when they cast it, that means they threw the net in, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. There was 153 fish caught in one net. So they throw the net out. What happens today if you throw the net out on the Mississippi River and you haul in 153 good-sized fish? What happens? The conservation police arrest you. See, they don't read the Bible. They don't know these things. You get arrested. However, they got 153 fish, and they couldn't even bring it in because the fish were so big and so heavy. And so the Lord Jesus is renewing. Now, we are not in John. I have some verses here just to remind us the original mission that the disciples were set to do. And what Jesus is doing in John 21, he's renewing the mission that God gave the disciples to do when he called them the first time. So this is just to remind you and I. And this is way back in Luke chapter 5. And this is the first, well, it's the second, but it's the call of the disciples early on. Follow me, he says, and I will make you fishers of men. That may be confusing. If he says, I will make you fishers of men, that doesn't mean he'll make you a man or a woman who fishes. That means you will be what? Catching men. Okay? This is not catching fish, it's catching men. This is the original commission, the original M-I-S-S-I-O-N, the original mission. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, Matthew 4:19. And then now we're in Luke. He said to Simon, that's Peter, Simon Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. Do you find it interesting that when Jesus called the disciples, they were fishing and they were catching nothing? This kind of ties it together, right? First time, catching nothing and fishing. Last time, after the resurrection and the cross, fishing and catching nothing. And then the Lord Jesus speaks a word. He tells them where to put the net. And he says, Master, we worked hard all day. And he says, so what do you say? Oh, let down your nets for catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say, and let down the nets. There is a important lesson here that's here and in John. We have to do Jesus' word. This was something that did not make sense. It did not make human sense that they would put the nets down in the deep water and catch fish. Back in John, did it make sense that you could put your net on this side of the boat and you didn't catch fish, and then now you change it to this side and you do catch fish? It makes no human sense. This is supernatural. This is outside the laws of man. And it's obeying the Lord Jesus at his word. God has given you a mission if Jesus is your Savior. And that mission is supernatural. That mission is doing the word of Christ and waiting for the Lord Jesus in his word for your life. And so then the fruit comes, and then the fish fill the nets. Now, when they had done this, they enclosed. That means they captured a great quantity of fish. Now, in this story in Luke, nobody numbers the fish. We don't know how many numbered the fish. Do you know why they did not number the fish? It's because the nets began to break, and some of the fish escaped. And so it says a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they're catching fish and the fish are escaping. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats. So now the boats began to sink. So in this first miracle, the nets are breaking. They can't hold the fish. The boats are sinking. They can't hold the fish. And it's just not enough. But it's the beginning. It's a call. And the Lord Jesus then says a couple verses later, don't fear. From now on, you will be catching what? Men. So now we know our assignment. And this is renewing the first commission. But this is after the resurrection. Now we're back in John. And this is very important. Remember, we said they're going to be fishing for men. They're only going to get fish if they do Jesus' word. And then there's one other thing. So Simon Peter, therefore the disciple, I filled in John's name, it's John, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. What's the difference here between John and Peter in this verse? At that moment in Peter's life, Peter had sinned. Do you remember Peter denied the Lord three times? I don't know him. I don't know him. And then he denied it swearing. He swore by God he did not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so Peter is not in a partnership. We say he's not in fellowship with the Lord Jesus at this moment. He's sinned, but he's never been as a Christian then restored to friendship and partnership with the Lord. You know Christians can sin, right? But can we be lost? You cannot be lost. The Lord Jesus in John 10 said, I give them eternal life and they will never, what? Perish. That means never be lost, never face eternal punishment. And then he says, no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You see, the Lord Jesus has a net that when he caught you, the net does not break. The disciples at their first commission had a net that broke. Some were caught, some got away. But the assignment that you and I are getting for the Lord Jesus Christ is if you catch a person for the Lord Jesus Christ, can he ever slip the net? He cannot escape the net. He can't slip. Isn't it a terrible thing when you get a fish and you see the fish, it's a beautiful fish, and you get him halfway up the bridge and he looks at you like this and he goes, and he's gone. And he slipped the hook. That's a terrible feeling. I once caught a fish this big. The problem was he never got in the boat with me. He got this close and he slipped the hook and he was gone. How would you like to go fishing for fish where the fish never slip the hook? They never escape the hook. And so the Lord Jesus now has a net that no fish escapes, because when they capture the fish, how many are there? 153. When they bring the net to shore, how many fish are there? 153. This is an important lesson, isn't it? When a man or woman comes to Jesus as Savior, the Lord Jesus keeps the hook. He gives what kind of life? Eternal. If that life could be taken away, could you call it eternal? No, it would be temporary life. Or it would be probationary life, to prove if you're worthy or to prove if you're good. Does the Lord Jesus make you prove you're worthy and prove you're good so that you can keep eternal life? No, the Lord Jesus paid for your sins. And he paid for your sins because I am not worthy. Even after Peter had the gift of eternal life, he actually said he didn't know the Lord Jesus. And not once, but three times he denied the Lord Jesus. Don't you think if you could be lost by sin, that Peter would have been lost because of his sin? But he wasn't, because the Lord Jesus gives eternal life, and the hook is set and the net will never break. That's an encouragement for you. Not everyone is going to trust the Lord Jesus when you tell them the good news. But every person who enters the net, every person who trusts the Lord Jesus is going to save them. The Lord Jesus is going to keep them. And one day the Lord Jesus will receive them in the heaven. And you did nothing but talk. Do you think that's an amazing kind of fishing? Sounds better than fishing on the Mississippi River or the Rock River. So Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, and he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but 100 yards from, I used to swim the 100 yard race. I never won, but 100 yards, and they were dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Did the Lord need their fish? No, he didn't. He already had a fire prepared. The Lord gave fish to catch. I'm going to make another really important point here. He fed the worker. You know the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't you think if Jesus died for you and gave you the gift of eternal life the moment you believed, that you could trust him for a piece of bread and a fish for breakfast so you could live? That's a small thing, but it's a big concern for us, isn't it? We worry about what we will eat. We worry about what we will wear. But the Bible says that the laborer is worthy of his wages. And so the Lord Jesus gave fish or food to the workers. Whoops. And the Lord Jesus never lost a fish. So you trust the Lord Jesus for eternal life. You trust him for an assignment, a person to talk to about the Lord Jesus, because that's what he wants you to do. And you trust him to provide for your needs. What's the worst thing that can happen to you if you don't get your fish and bread in the morning? This is obviously not American, right? Like, Americans don't eat fish for breakfast. We eat Captain Crunch. Okay? So, This is different. They're having a fish breakfast. And he said, bring some of the fish. Simon Peter went up and drew the full of large fish. How many? 153. And although they were so many, what happened to the net? The net was not torn. Every fish brought to land. The net not broken. So what's the worst that can happen if the Lord had not provided those fish? Well, they could have died from hunger. And what's the problem with dying from hunger? Oh, wait. I would be with Jesus. You see, the Lord has your future taken care of. You know, we're not going to get through this whole chapter. But we got the fishing part down, didn't we? We got the fishing part down here. Your mission, number one mission, is catching men for the Lord Jesus. And I think it's very important to know that this work depends on you being in the Word of God and listening. So God gives you a word. Sometimes what you read in the morning is the very thing that you need to talk to someone about during the day. That's why it's so important, if you are a child of God, that you be have your mind filled with the Word of God. And you can do it. Every one of us can do it. And so the Lord promises to provide for your needs as a worker. And he promises to give you fish and save men eternally and keep them. And so the Lord Jesus says, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. It's very interesting, some of the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus. There's some confusion about, well, is this the Lord? Is this not the Lord? But they knew that it was the Lord. And you see, while Jesus Christ is the same Lord Jesus on earth, he's now our man in heaven. He also is completely God. And there was a new sense of fear of this man who defeated death. And the realization, he's not just a man, and he's not just my fishing buddy. He is God. He is the God-man. And that's the person who gives you your assignment today. And so, this is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I think I will stop there. The next part of this lesson, we did the fish part, is Peter. Remember, Peter has sinned against the Lord. And now, where is the Lord Jesus bringing Peter back to? Well, when Peter betrayed the Lord, where was he standing by warming himself? He was standing by a charcoal fire. This word is not used much in the New Testament. And there he is by an anthracite, a charcoal fire, warming his hands and denying the Lord. And now the Lord brings Peter right back to a charcoal fire. Don't you think that Peter's starting to feel really bad? What will the Lord do for Peter? It's not going to be for 2 weeks that we're going to find out what happens to Peter, because I won't be here next week. But I don't think I'll be here next week. So first we have what God does, mission number one. Mission number two will be shepherding, and then we'll look at the destinies of two men. This would be a good place to ask yourself two questions. The first question is, am I caught? Do I have salvation in Jesus Christ? John spent 20 chapters in this book helping you to see that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him to be your Savior. Have you done that? That's question number one. And so answer that before you leave today. If you have questions, or if you would like to see more verses with promises about eternal life, I'd be glad to show them to you after we close. And then our mission for those who know the Lord Jesus. Are you serving the Lord Jesus? That doesn't mean you quit your job. That means you use where you are for the Lord Jesus. Jesus has put you where no one else can be. And when you're working, you're standing beside a person who does not know Jesus as Savior. God has put you there. And if you were in your Bible in the morning, you have something to say to this person over here. If you were not, you may have nothing to say that you know. because they heard a word and caught fish. Put your net down over here. So it's really helpful for us as believers. Are you in the Word of God so you have a word for someone who needs salvation in Jesus Christ? So this is a challenge to you. We have a reading program. You can join the reading program to give you something to read each day. We are reading through the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs, and you're welcome to join. There's signs all over the place. Take the picture with your phone. Join the program. Start reading. Have something to say. So as a believer, are you filling yourself with God's word? And are you purposefully looking for people to catch for the Lord Jesus? If you're not a Christian, would you today put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior personally?